The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
It's opening day 2020, a lot later than we expected. The Yankees, Nationals, Dodgers, and Giants got us started yesterday, but this... we're recording on the day where so many teams are in action. Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Napsuk, and welcome to the first official episode of Legends of the Wax Pack. And what is that? Well, this is a show where we dive into a pack of cards, a box of cards, and we share memories. Sometimes there'll be a guest. Sometimes we'll do a little baseball card guessing, but this is just a pretty simple concept. You've seen it other places. This is my version, my memories, my nostalgia to these cards. And I figure for opening day, we're going to be doing, if you're watching live a little bit later this evening, we'll be doing a live Behind the Bag with Tom Dagnino, 4 p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening a little bit later on the podcast feed, hey, listen there, watch here, do it all. Support Box Score Heroes, support baseball, and it is a weird season. We all know that, but that doesn't mean we can't find small joys in baseball or maybe pay good money to have your face in the stands. I am researching what's the best bargain for getting a cardboard cutout of my face in a stadium around the country. Some people are joining us live, like Brandon Buckingham, Will McLean, and we got the French Taunter. Oh, I love a good Monty Python reference. Now, as it's opening day, and this is an audio podcast, but this is also we put this up on YouTube. So I will try to do my best to find the balance between the two mediums here. But I'm going to switch cameras to those who are watching here to this silly little overhead link, so we can see what we got going on here. All right, so we've got. I'm not opening up this one right away. This is the 87 Donruss opening day set. Now, it's been open a long time ago. I bought this when I was a lot younger. Bought this in 87. I think it came out in August of 87, I believe. Donruss said, hey, people love baseball cards. We are going to commemorate the greatest holiday in the world, opening day, with a set of cards. Oh, it doesn't smell like Donruss. It still kind of smells like Donruss. And if you... it's the weirdest thing. I'm glad the camera is looking down on my cards if you're watching live, because you're seeing a grown man smell a stack of cardboard. We all know each company in the late 80s particularly had their own smell. It was like the baseball cards were dogs, and we knew. We were sniffing the cards. Donruss had that kind of sleek smell. Fleer had its own kind of unique, harder to find smell, and the Tops had kind of, like 87 Tops, the wood grain kind of had a woody smell, you know? Look at that. Chad Benefield's watching. Lauren Romo's live in chat as well. Yeah, the Ryan Sandberg in this 87 Tops is good. I got to tell you, even though I'd opened this set back in 87 and studied it, and I want to talk about this card set as, in relation to the tradition of opening day and how it's treated. The strawberry's a little dinged here. The strawberry's got a little crease there. I loved the photography in this set here too. Donruss went with some. Look at Tim Wallach. 100 RBIs in 1987. He'd go on. I mentioned this once on a movie trivia showdown. Tim Wallach's 100th RBI in 1987 was a hit by pitch. I think it was against the Braves, because I was probably watching a Braves game. What set could you get? A Wade Boggs, a Tim Wallach, and a Steve Lombardozzi back to back to back. 87 opening day. We're not going to go through this one today. I just wanted to bring it up and commemorate opening day. The cards are really good condition, considering this like duct tape, masking taped, broken plastic cover I have on it right now. What Tigers are in that set, says Lauren Romo live in chat. I know this. Mike Heath started in right field for the Tigers on that day, and he's in the set here. But you got some Sweet Lou Whitaker for sure. You definitely have a, you definitely have an Alan Trammell. The lineup is right here. Oh, here we go. Actually, that's perfect. There you go, Lauren. Orlando Mercado was your catcher. Darrell Evans, probably first base or DH. Larry Herndon, Jack Morris on the mound. Chet Lemon in the outfield. Mike Heath, I know catcher, but starting right field. Darnell Coles, third base, I believe. Alan Trammell, Terry Harper, Lou Whitaker. That is a lineup. Wow, that's a lineup. And I love this. This is what it, look at those Royals. Steve Balboni, Danny Tartable, Ed Hearn, Buddy Biancalana, Danny Jackson, Frank White, Bo Jackson, of course, George Brett, Kevin Seitzer, who have a great rookie year, 200-plus hits, and Willie Wilson. I love this. This is a note, too. Bob Stanley, who starts for the Red Sox in 87, but remember, in 86, he's on the mound. He is on the mound. So I don't know. It's a nice little switch there. We could go on and on, but I'm not going through this set. Chad Benefield says Dodgers will allow you to have a cutout of your dog in two sections for $149. I'm not opposed to that at all. Not opposed to that at all. All right. We've got the box is a little beat up here. We've got a box of 1991 Tops. I have somewhere in my collection a unopened box of 1987 Tops. I've got to find it. In my last move, I think I moved it around. And the 87 Tops is just so simple in its execution. I love it. The wood grain borders. Rocky Persinger live in chat saying happy opening day. And actually, that's true. I want to go. So back to the 87 Donruss opening day set real briefly. I think it's crazy in the most wonderful way. Now, in 87, they were just tossing card sets down our gullets. And, you know, card shop owners were unsealing packs and taking what they wanted out of them. It was a great time. It was a great time. But I loved, and this is this 87 Tops. I'm going to do a video about this. Might do a little, just a quiet ASMR light, looking through this 87 Donruss opening day set. But what I love about it, what I love about the opening day set is it does commemorate our feeling. And all of you are catching, if you're catching this live, even though yesterday was the official opening day, we had two games. One rained out. My Yankees win. Dodgers look good, 8-1. We got 13 openers today, and it just feels good. And all my trepidation about this season, and I still wonder, the Juan Soto thing, we're going to talk about it on Behind the Bag. Juan Soto basically showing up the stadium and catching it and being around his teammates is a worry. I don't know how long. I don't know if we're going to finish the season. I want to finish the season. They announced the playoffs. I kind of like it for this again, just for this season. We're here, but now that the games are happening and it's on the, I'm excited. I'm really excited, having fun watching it. And this 1987 Donruss opening day set, it's a testament to all of our feelings towards baseball being back every year. It's something that meant something to us. And in truth, I saved up. I forget. I think this set probably went for like $20, which back then for me in 87 on a 75 cent week allowance was a lot. I had to make a choice. I went into the card shop in my hometown, Arroyo Grande, California. There was a card shop there in the village of Arroyo Grande, a little quaint downtown area. It was my shop. And I'd go in there and, you know, I had like, I probably had enough money to buy one big set. And you know, this is late 87, so you're getting 87 Tops traded, 87 Fleer traded, the update with Donruss and everything. And this is what I went for. It was in great presentation, a good-looking presentation. Take the masking tape off of my set. It was just, and I love 87 Donruss is one of my favorite designs from a different era, of course, but just a simple design. And I just always liked it. The regular 87 Donruss, of course, had the black borders. This one has more of the maroon, and I love it. It's got the simple, and then it's got what they did on opening day. Stephen Paul Lombardozzi had a great opening day in 1987 against the A's, 2-for-5 with a double and a pair of runs score. Steve Lombardozzi, of course, 87 Twins, end up getting and winning that World Series. All right, so let's get into, I'm just going to open a couple packs here, share some memories, and we'll get on with our day, and we'll watch some baseball. This box, I don't know at what point I got a hold of this box, and it's not for sale, but look at that. I used to go when I was a kid. My memories, Chad Benefield says 1987 Tops was his first full set. I think it was mine too, which is why I bumped. I actually had a thumbnail ready to go for this episode being about that 87 Tops box I have. And then went out to my storage shed where I thought it was. It isn't. So I got to find it. But I do have this 91 Tops. I can't remember when I got it, but I used to love it. And Rocky Persinger live in chat, who is my MLB The Show Twitch hitting coach when I stream that game, says, I always bought my packs at a grocery store near my house. Never really bought full sets. Yeah. And I love that we all kind of have our places that were close to us growing up. That's part of the fun of the memories. Either I had the card shop, but one of my other favorite places to go, we could walk there not too far from my house growing up, was this store called J.J. Newberry, which was kind of like a thrifty drug. And it was right next to our thrifty drug. You had the thrifty drug on one side. You go get some ice cream, maybe a chocolate malted crunch. And the next door was a J.J. Newberry. And it was a level down from thrifty. And it didn't have ice cream, but it had a ton of baseball cards, including the Rack Packs, which I loved the Rack Packs. So, yeah. Oh, and Rocky. Yeah, Rocky Persinger, he's live in chat now saying he has a ton of cards. He just got a big haul. And I know, Rocky, you got your own YouTube stuff going on, but I think maybe we'll have to pop you on here on Legends of the Wax Pack soon, and maybe we talk about some of your collection there. Kyle Harlow's there says 87 Tops has wood paneling like a PT Cruiser. Oh my gosh. If you're listening later on the audio podcast, this is what we do. We hang out, we chit chat, we talk about our memories here. So eventually we'll be doing with these some guests. I was going to invite Mark Ellis. I didn't know if Mark Ellis was up. Quite frankly, I don't know. Chad Benefield says we had card shows that would come to the conference rooms and local hotels. Oh my God. Those were the best. Those were the best. That was, you know, everyone this week's missing Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con International. I am too. Love going down, love hanging out with folks. But I grew up going to card shows, local card shows in Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo. There was one at a women's community center, which now my folks don't live too far from there. It was like the other side of town. Man, Chad, you remember, you walk into those card shows. It was, oh, Shangri-La of a collector's heaven. Oh, my God. And I loved it. I love going to the Costco and picking up a box of cards. And this was my favorite feel, like that. I think we're down a couple of packs because I think we opened them maybe for a Mark Ellis show or something like that. All right, so we're going to... Oh, I love it. I love, no matter what's in the set, I just love a stack of baseball cards, of unopened packs. I absolutely love that feel. It's the best. Look at that. I can smell the bad gum. And then I love on the back, I used to love this. I used to get the boxes a lot in 87, 88. And I love on the back that you have the bonus cards that you could like cut out. This one has Dwight Evans, Dewey Evans for the Red Sox. Towards the end of his career, he ended up in Baltimore. Alfredo Griffin, former Blue Jays superstar. Remember that in the 70s? He became a Dodger shortstop. Carlton Fisk, still playing. I think he was 72 in that shot. And Ricky Henderson, who still right now could steal more bases than half of baseball. All right. So we are going to, if you're watching live, you got the look. But don't worry. Every once in a while, you'll see my face. Not that you want to do that. We're just going to open up a pack here and go through the memories. Go through the players that we got in the pack and celebrate opening day. Maybe have some memories of the 91 season. Now, Lauren Romo in chat is a Detroit Tigers fan, which is unfortunate because 1991, I mean, Trammell, Whitaker still there. Who else is still there in 91? It's not a good team in 91. And look, my Yankees, this is the era where my Yankees were in the dumps. We were competitive in the 80s, the late 80s. Well, went to the World Series in 81. But we just couldn't get over the hump. And by 88, 89, it was kind of crazy. Billy Martin is fired. Rest in peace. He dies on Christmas Day, 1988. You got Stump Merrill, Bucky Dent, Gene Stick Mike, all these people trying to get the franchise back. Then Steinbrenner gets suspended. What's that guy? Robert Niederlander kind of, quote, runs the team for a little bit. My Yankees in this era, because this would be the 91 Tops is going to reflect the 1990 baseball season. There might be a Kevin Moss in here. And that would make me excited. Matt Noakes, Matty No Noakes. Matt Noakes, actually, who I always thought looked like Mark Hamill, 87 All-Star for the Tigers, catcher. I think by this era, he goes to the Yankees, not to, and I thought, God, when Matt Noakes and Mike Stanley were catching for the Yankees, I thought, we got ourselves a thing. We got ourselves. Hey, look at this. Buying cards packs was with an icy. This is Brian Ward. Brian Ward, who did this nice logo. Brian does so many nice logos and brandings. That Legends of the Wax Pack logo is one of my favorite things he's ever done. And look at that. It's just beautiful. Oh, my God. Brian Ward, big baseball guy, big baseball card collector, too. So we're definitely going to try to get Brian on the show very soon. Yeah, after school tradition, get in an icy and buying a card pack. All right, I'm not going to delay anymore here. This is the 91 Topps set. The real one. Instant win, vintage Topps cards, plus sweepstakes. I never entered the sweepstakes. Did any of you out there watching or listening a little later on, did you enter the $1 million total prize value sweepstakes? Let me know. And did you win? More importantly, did you win? That's the thing. 15 picture cards. I love that they had a great term from like 1890 and they stuck with it. Picture cards here. Seal. Let's see. We got to assume a pack that was untouched by a scandalous scoundrel of a card shop owner in the 80s and 90s that would have unsealed these. So, I have no real set way of opening these. We're going to go over this, go over the seasons, go over the memories that what we find in here. Oh, look at that. We're starting big right away. See in the back. How did you do this? This is how I did this. Yeah, Chad's talking about the 91 Braves in chat, the beginning of their decade. I looked at the card in the back, but I didn't go from there. I flipped it over. Oh, look at that broken gum. Now we got a moral quandary. What are we going to do here? All right, we're going to go to the center. We're going to flip it like this. There we go. Instant win game. Who wants to enter? Look at the gum. I'm not going to do the gum thing. People do that a lot. It's here. Spoiler alert. This gum is not good right now. It's not good. Let's see here. Oh, you hear that crack? Oh, man, it's not good. I wonder if that's a new ASMR thing. Cracking Topps gum. Kyle Harlow says the catch is that you won $1 million worth of cards that are now worth $10. So true. So true. All right, we're going to go through this set here. Topps. All right. First player is from the Cincinnati Reds infielder, Luis Quiñones. I kind of remember Louis. I don't remember the season he had in 1990. A's, Giants, Cubs. I do remember the Cubs a little bit in 87 when I was getting into the baseball thing. And he was part of the 90 Reds World Series winning team. Pillar to post to those Reds. Look at this. Luis Quiñones enjoyed an 18-game hit streak in 1989. How many of you knew that? Now, this is what I also loved about the 90 Topps. They did the monthly scoreboard of hits and RBI per month. What was Luis Quiñones' best month hits-wise? Wild guess. Don't read the spoilers. All right, June. I'll spoil it for you. June. Luis Quiñones. Look at this. All-star Matt Williams. Now we can Hall of Famer Matt Williams, right? We finally put him in the Hall of Fame. I sometimes get confused with him and Jim Thome, though. Now, so maybe Williams isn't in the Hall of Fame, but Williams was one of the best. So here's the thing about Williams in 1991. He was on the verge of greatness, but the focus was, of course, on Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell with the Giants of that era. Lauren, you're close to that July, I guess. Matt Williams led the National League in RBIs in 1990, 122 ribbies. Bobby Bonilla, still collecting a paycheck, 120. Joe Carter, Padres, 115. What a year. A lot of 100 RBI guys. And then Wallach, there's my guy Tim Wallach, 98. He just needed two more hit by pitches, and he would have hit 100. But that's the thing. Will Clark, Kevin Mitchell, Robbie Thompson at second base, that's the focus. But Williams, from 87 on, and he, of course, has the big year in 94 that the strike takes away from him. And we're going to manage with the Diamondbacks. I think he's one of those intense guys. Marquise Grissom. I saw Marquise Grissom play in 1989. Hit double down the line, Dodger Stadium. I was there at Dodger Stadium watching Expos Dodgers. I do believe it's Expos Dodgers when Abart Giamatti died. They announced it at the game, and I was it was surreal with the Rose stuff and everything. Marquise Grissom. Here's the thing. I think Grissom goes on to have a pretty good career. You know, a lot of times these guys coming up in this era, you know, when I was young, you look at this, you're like, oh, Marquise Grissom's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. And then he, if he doesn't, you think it's a failure. I don't think that's the case. I think he had a good career. And look, I didn't know this. At Florida State, he was a pitcher. Marquise had a 4.48 average and a 2.40 ERA at Florida State. He could have been a two-way player. He could have been a two-way player. But he didn't. He didn't. Rocky's said he's a Reds fan. Born in 88, doesn't really remember the 90s. It was a good season. The Nasty Boys. Billy Bates scoring that big run in the World Series. Marquise Grissom. 89 is when he came up. That's when I saw him play. 90 is a good rookie year. Kind of. Only plays 98 games. 3 home runs, 29 RBIs, but 22 stolen bases. Remember stolen bases? Do you remember laughter? All right. Number 50 from Hawaii. Sid Fernandez is next here on the set. This is a great card. If you're watching the video, look at that. It's like poetry. It's ballet. Sid Fernandez, El Cid. He, for those listening, the 91 tops, it's a landscape portrait. It's horizontal. How you should shoot your phone videos. And he is... He's just thrown a pitch. Oh, my gosh. I just spit on the card. That's disgusting. He just has thrown a pitch. Leg in the air. And it's beautiful. That's a poster. Sid Fernandez, man. Underrated. Had a good career. Started with the Dodgers. Key to the Mets run. 16 wins in 86. 12 wins, 14 wins. 1990, the Mets weren't that great. 9-14, Fernandez. You know. I'd say remembered as one of those unspectacular but solid pitchers of the 80s into the 90s. All right. Oh, we got a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer alert. And great mustache in baseball alert. Robin Yount. Robin Yount is here. Oh, man. I loved Robin Yount. A different kind of player. What's funny is stat-wise, even when you kind of adjust for stats of the era, a lot of people... I've heard conversation where a lot of people are like, his stats weren't Hall of Fame worthy, but he won two MVPs, 82 and 89, right? He had a great year in 89, yeah. Yeah, Chad Benefield in chat just brought up something that I would do too. Chad says, used to love the action shots on cards. Try to imagine where and what they were doing at the time. Same with me. Like, this is what I'd do. I would get the pack of cards, and then I would just go through and just imagine what was happening. Robin Yount, Hall of Famer. We pulled a Hall of Famer. Bobby Thigpen and Greg Swindell. I don't want to go through every card individually. Darren Lewis. Oh, that's an interesting pick. Bobby Thigpen, this is the year. This is the year where you thought this was going to be the best closer of all time. He comes off the 1990 season with 57 saves. Eckersley next with 48. Doug Jones and his mustache at 43. Former Rookie of the Year, Greg Olson, 37 saves. Mike Schuller, 30 saves that year. Good year for Schuller. Thigpen, he has this great big year as the White Sox closer, and you thought this was it. This was it. He was going to be the greatest closer of all time. Not so much after that. Darren Lewis, A's, also played for the Giants. Lewis was one of those toolsy kind of players from the University of Cal Berkeley. Never really became what you might have thought. I like this card. This is an intense. He's got one of those. You know, I love the action shot, especially because catching was my favorite position. So I would collect cool shots of catchers. But I love these good moody headshots. And by 91 tops, the photography's better. It's not the school photo day stuff there. Greg Swindell, Cleveland starter, and then ended up becoming a reliever. I remember him very well. This would have been Swindell. If I pulled this in 91, I would have been like, I got a good pack. Rich Rodriguez. I kind of remember Rich, lefty, came out of the bullpen. Oh, here we go. Greg Olson. We got a closers pack. Any Oriole fans in the crowd? You've got a good pack here. You got a 1989 Rookie of the Year with a 1.69 ERA, 27 saves, and 89 for those rebuilding Orioles. But comes back at 90. 37 saves, 2.42. Look at that. His 27 saves in 89, league record for rookies. I'm sure it's been broken by now. I know stats like saves and wins aren't as valued as much anymore, and I get it, but I still do love it. And the closer, one of my all-time kind of favorite positions. Jack Clark, Padres. Remember when Jack Clark and his big bat went over to the Padres? A lot of people forget he was a outfielder for the Giants, but then goes has those big 3 years with the Cardinals, 85 to 87 with the Cardinals, and goes spends that 1 year in New York in 88, which I was excited for him in 88. I thought and he doesn't have a bad year for the Yanks, 27 home runs, 93 ribbies, but .242. Never was one for average. Jack Clark had a big 87. That, of course, the ball was flying that year. 35 home runs that year for Jack Clark. And that Jack Clark, for me, growing up, and I don't know if anyone in this era out listening or watching, Jack Clark is kind of, to me, a forgotten superstar. 85 with the Cardinals at that series against the Dodgers, the big hit, the home run off Niedenfuhr, the stats. 87, he's just a slugger, man. He is a slugger to end all sluggers. But he'd been around for a bit, and he put up some big numbers with the Giants, part of that Joe Morgan Giants squad there in the early 80s. Padres, and then that's it, man. He kind of fizzles out. I forget where he does. He end up going to the Red Sox, I think, for a bit. I love Jack Clark. Just one of those forgotten superstars of the 80s, early 90s range. And speaking of superstars, look at this Sandy Alomar card. Topps Gold Cup rookie. Talk about action. Chad in the live chat. If you're acting out, a card, look at this. Sandy Alomar, he's leaping for a pop fly, but it's like he's leaping over a fence being chased by White Walkers with a catcher's glove trying to catch like a dragon egg. There's a lot going on in this card. Alomar comes over from the Padres where Robbie was there. Sandy Alomar Sr., of course, his father. Great season in 1990, Rookie of the Year. One of those guys, stats never maybe matched his worth, and that's why you got to have those guys on your team. I loved Alomar, even though he's a Yankee fan. Derek Lilliquist wrapping up this pack, and then we got from the Mets, Keith Miller, one of those new generation Met guys coming in after the 86 team pops in. And, ends up at the Royals, never kind of becomes a superstar that maybe you were led to believe by rookie prospect cards. Final card in the pack, Fernando Valenzuela. What a great shot. This 91 card of Valenzuela is beautiful. I'm trying to get my camera here to focus for those watching. Look at that shot. This is classic Fernando. Great shot. The leg's starting to go. He goes up. He's got the hand and the ball and they're not in the glove and they're not quite meeting. And he's looking up. That's of course Fernando would do. He'd look up all the time. And by this time he's got the glasses on. Remember when Fernando started going to glasses? Valenzuela is one of those players that I don't think he'll ever be forgotten. But Chad is right. So graceful. I don't think he'll ever be forgotten. Or was that about Alomar? He's graceful too. Fernando, though, just injuries and his career didn't finish the way I think it started. Ends up with the Cardinals, Angels, right? Orioles for a little bit. But the way his career started, including his 1980 cup of coffee, where he comes up for 10 games, goes 2-0, and has a 0.00 ERA and gets a save. He had two saves in his career by this point. His 81 season, which was the last time other than the strike season of 94, where baseball was really, really affected and had a different looking season. The 81 Dodgers, who of course go on to the World Series against the Yanks. That was Fernando Mania, 13-7. 25 games, started 11 complete games, 8 shutouts. Look at this. In 1986, Fernando had 20 complete games. He led the league with 12 and 87. And that kind of stuff, I miss that, but I get why it's not here, because Fernando, arm troubles, injuries, started to take their toll. That's why we don't do that anymore. But I do like that era. Finish what you start. On MLB The Show, my teams finish what they start. I'm probably blowing out some arms in the video game world. 86 might be overall his best year. 21-11, which is a crazy win-loss total there. League-leading 34 starts, 242 innings, 20 complete games, 3.14 ERA. We don't know the other extended stats back in this era. We'll have to look it up. Go to baseballreference.com. And by then, by 88, he's injured. He's not really involved with that 88 Dodger World Series team. 89-90, he does throw the no-hitter. Does throw the no-hitter in 1990. 6-0 win over the Cardinals, June 29th. 7 strikeouts. Same day Dave Stewart threw his no-hitter, I believe. What a day for baseball. And Chad's right. First rookie to pitch opening day for the Dodgers until yesterday when Dustin May, at the time of this recording, throws a great game against the Giants there. So that is our pack. We'll do another one quickly. We won't go through it as much. I don't want to take too much of your time here on opening day. Just getting started here on Legends of the Wax Pack. We'll be doing this show often with some guests, just sharing baseball memories. That's what I love about these. These cards, they don't have as much value anymore. We get that. But it is a nostalgic value. It takes you back. If you're a baseball fan, you know. You kind of know right where you were when you first opened up that Sandy Alomar. You kind of know. All right, let's do one more here. One more pack. And we'll go celebrate some baseball here. Gonna be a fun time. Oh, I hated when I did that. I did the rip where it kind of stuck there. I don't know about that. Okay. Lauren Romo and Chad in chat talking about Pudge Rodriguez. He had 91, comes up with the Rangers. He was, what, 18, 19 years old. All right, let's do this thing again. Let's break the gum. Oh, that's crunchy. Todd Zeal era for the Cardinals in 91. Yeah, Brian Ward, you're right. If we get a Todd Zeal in here, I'll be pretty happy. I was a big Zeal fan around this time. I was bummed when the Cardinals switched him from catcher to third base. All right, we got to do the split here again. I feel like I'm Ricky Jay doing a magic trick, but we're going to do it here. Let's go back. I see some of the cards we got here. We'll run through this one. Again, we've got the instant win. Maybe it's your chance. Julio Machado, pitcher, Brewers. I love the Brewers uniforms in 91. I thought that was really good. They kind of got something similar again now. Brett Butler. Man, I like Brett Butler, especially with the Dodgers. I know a lot of people didn't like him. Comes over from Cleveland, goes to the Dodgers. But this is where he was with the Giants, though, first. And I thought mid-90s, great for the Dodgers. One of the best bunters I've ever seen in the game. Turner Ward, who is a hitting coach now, I believe. Might be even Diamondbacks for a while. I don't know where he is now. But Turner Ward, does go over to the Yankees at one point there. Of course, he kind of started with the Yankee system. That might be what I'm thinking. Mike York. Oh, yes, we all remember Mike York for the Pirates. I want to go look at Baseball Reference to see where Mike York. Oh, here we go. This one's for you, Rocky, if you're still listening live in chat. But definitely for those listening later, we got a great card. This was a card that you wanted if you wanted to be cool with your friends. Rob Dibble, Nasty Boys. Ooh, those Nasty Boys. Nasty Boys. Dibble, Lou Piniella fighting. Crazy time. Dibble, probably not the nicest of guys, at least during his playing days. I don't know where Rob is now, And didn't he do some analysis somewhere? Middle relief, man. He does get 11 saves in 90 for those Reds. They kind of, even though Myers, I consider him the primary closer, I think Dibble had the heat, man. He was going. He was the thing. Dibble, like I said, he was along with Sabo. It was just the Reds just had those talked about players. Dibble, big boy, too. 6'4", 235. Look at this. We got a Hall of Famer alert. Frank Thomas. This is a great card if you're a White Sox fan. And Rocky says his favorite player growing up. Look at that. That's a great card if you're watching on YouTube. Mid-swing, those early 90s White Sox uniforms, similar to what they got going now, and I really like those uniforms. And this is it, man. This is technically, you might consider this. He's got some cards before this, but in the old kind of rookie card status, you kind of go, it's the first card following their first year is the rookie card. But yeah, future prospects, draft picks. Thomas has definitely got some other cards, and I do have some of them in my collection. Pretty good shape for this. I have to look this up on Beckett. Probably worth 12 cents. But Thomas, man, Thomas to me is one of those new era guys. And Chad looked up Mike York, played parts of 2 seasons, Pirates in 90 and 91 for Cleveland. There you go. Thomas comes up in 1990, and it is one of those new eras. The game was changing. Every every era, kind of, you kind of know when the page turns. And I think Thomas was part of that in the 90s. Players like Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, players like that that started coming on up in baseball. More on Mike York, because that's what actually I really wanted to know. He made his debut in August of 1990 for the Indians. Last appearance in 91 in August for Cleveland. So from August 90 to August 91, and then Mike York, poof, disappears. This is a great Thomas card. I'll have to put that one aside and hold on to it. Again, probably worth 12 cents, but good to pull. Dave Schmidt, who also had some good years for the Orioles there. Oh, I see a manager card coming up. I love those manager cards. Steve Fry, Expos left-handed reliever. Here we go, manager card. Oh, boy, Tom Dagnino would be happy. Bobby Valentine does not include face mask. He had not done that yet. 1990, managed them Rangers around the time when W was one of the co-owners. 83 and 79 in 1990 for him, and he's under 500 this time. Bobby Valentine, former Dodger player. Quite the character. Jose Aquindo. York was drafted by the Yankees. Look at that. Do they still print the Beckett guide, or is it all online now? I don't know. I do have a box of old Becketts that we're going to go through, too, on this show as well. Aquindo, I liked him. He was like Ozzie Smith light, if you follow baseball around this time. Look at that, another manager card coming. Started with the Mets. But Aquindo had a good career. 291 average in 89. Led the league 163 games played. And I love this note. Look at this note. Jose is regularly the first player at the park for a game. Wow. Good job, Jose. And the next card in the pack, Joe Torre, Cardinal manager. Oh, man, goes on to manage my Yanks. I love Torre. I really do love Torre. This is a great card. I had to pull this one. Joe Torre manager card, probably worth 6 cents. Good. All right, coming a few more packs left. Dick Schofield. Oh, my God, I love Schofield. Schofield is like my reference guy. If I'm going to make a joke about a late 80s player, I'll make a Dick Schofield joke, and a lot of my friends will laugh because they get it. Schofield was a good glove, no-hit guy in a different era of baseball. I do not believe Schofield would be playing baseball much today. Biggest year was for the Angels, the California Angels, 1986. 13 home runs, 57 RBIs, 249 batting average. Did steal 23 bags, and that's about it. That's about it. Career 233 average for Schofield. He does end up with the Dodgers for a little bit. Punctuality is important, says old handsaw, especially for the Cardinals there. Schofield, man, I love Schofield. Again, just one of those references. A different era indeed. Bob Welch, now the late Bob Welch, passed away. Welch, known most for that Reggie Jackson strikeout in what, 77, 78 range in the series, coming out of the bullpen. Goes on, has a good career with the Dodgers, but really becomes something else with the A's. And in fact, this card, when you pulled this from a pack in 1991, spring of 91, you were like, yes. Yes. Because Welch had 27 wins. Again, I know wins don't mean as much anymore. But he, 238 innings, 27-6, 2.95 ERA. Only two complete games because the A's had a great bullpen and a good system. Wins the Cy Young. Remember, this is the Dave Stewart era. This is Eckersley. This is the Bash Brothers. Welch was just as much part of that era as I think any of those players. Loved Bob Welch. This one, love the good stirrups there. Look at this. We're going to pull this out. Craig Biggio. Talk about the switching of eras of players. Biggio does come up in, 88, young catcher. I think 88, I remember he had 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. Check me on that in 88 in his little cup of coffee. This is a nice card. He would soon become a second baseman, eventually a center fielder, played all around. But I can check my own stat. Yep, there you go, 88. 50 games for the Astros, 3 home runs, 5 RBIs, 211 average. Does get 6 steals. Speedy catcher. 89's got he has a great year in 89. 13 home runs, 60 RBIs, 21 steals, 257 average, 64 runs. As a catcher coming up, it's good. Led the major league, led major league catchers in stolen bases in 1989. Put that on your resume. Hall of Famer indeed. But in 1990, his power goes. 4 home runs, 42 RBIs, 25 steals, though. And it's around this era that they're like, you know what? Maybe we should preserve Biggio and put him in another position. And he was always 5'11", smaller guy for a catcher, maybe not as bigger and bulkier as the others. So there you go. Lauren Romo in chat says, love the Astros 90s uniforms. You and me both. Simple, direct, classic baseball look. I love them. Got rid of the Tang soda can look from the 80s. So this uniform did pop up a lot during that time, but that 86 season, I hate those uniforms. And Biggio and his son, Kevin Biggio, playing for the Blue Jays. Talk about generation. I love those the Toronto Blue Jays right now who have no home. All right. Are they playing some games in Pittsburgh? Trying to figure out, do you want to host the Toronto Blue Jays? Let Major League Baseball know. They need a place to play. But I love the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are like the 1990s part two on their roster. Bichette, Biggio, Guerrero. It's great. Final card today that we're opening up. Jeffrey Hack Leonard, man. One flap down. This is his Mariners run. Dodgers, Astros, Giants is where he really reaches some prominence. 88 Brewers for a spell, then goes to the Mariners, plays alongside them. Hack Leonard, what is that? Wait, finishes, Chad, who finished with 291 on the home runs? Leonard or Biggio? Biggio. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Over 3,000 hits, man. Lauren Roman played second herself and loved when Biggio switched to second. There you go. I love Jeffrey Leonard, man. All-star. I've been watching some all-star games on the vaults and I love Leonard comes out, man. He had style. He had, He had a way to him. That one flap down in the 87 NLCS Cardinals Giants. Every time he homered, run with one hand down. I loved it. And this is, again, not maybe as successful as Jack Clark in a lot of ways, stat-wise and headline-wise. But when I think of good players in the 80s into the 90s that anytime they came into the plate, you thought, here something good's going to happen, or you want him at the plate. Jeffrey Leonard is one of those players. I just really like the stat. It's a different era. So when he's got his 83, 84 run, 87 RBIs, 86 RBIs, 21 home runs, 302 average, like those were big numbers. Those are big numbers back then. In fact, he doesn't start really hitting some bumps. His 89 season, 24 home runs, career high. But 87, 19 home runs, 63 RBIs, probably might have been a little injured back then. 280 average. He was a stud. Like, those are studs. So I love Jeffrey Leonard. Place in my heart for Jeffrey Leonard. Look at that. I'm not saying this is a perfect thumbnail here or an art piece, but we got broken gum, cards, and a box. Look at that. I like that. All right. We're almost out of here. This has been the first official Wax Packs Legends. You can find it on YouTube if you're listening on the audio podcast, but listen to the audio podcast as well, because once we get some of those guests in, it's going to be a good conversation, a back and forth over our baseball memories. Opening day, the 2020 season is here. And baseball memories are rushing back, and it's a good feeling, and I'm excited. That was a good pack, man. Two Hall of Famers, Rocky, right? Thomas, Biggio. I'll hold on to some of those bigger ones. We got Robin Yount as well, Joe Torre, and maybe we'll do some of those. The rest of those, I don't know. They might go into the fire. We'll figure that part out. Thank you for listening to Box Score Heroes, Legends of the Wax Pack. A little bit later today, if you're watching live, we will be doing a live Behind the Bag with Tom Dagnino right here on this YouTube channel. But don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Find it wherever you want podcasts to be found. Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And if you look and it's not there, let us know.